Good morning. I'm Carol Fry, and today I'll be talking about the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. It's axiomatic that sequels and remakes are never as good as the original, right? Well, the thing about axioms is that they're sometimes wrong. And so it goes with the recently released Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, a remake of the 1974 film. The original, based on a novel by John Godet, was an okay movie, but the remake is pretty darn good in a steady and effective cinematography and editing. Director Tony Scott has had a good career, but has lived in the shadow of his more famous brother, Ridley Scott, of Blade Runner fame, one of the finest American films. But if Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3 does not rival Blade Runner as a classic, Tony Scott's work as director rivals the best work of his brother in the technical area of movie storytelling. The premise is that a group of thugs, led by Ryder, a nom de plume and pun, played in an over-the-top performance by John Travolta, hijacks one car from a New York subway with 17 passengers to hold for ransom. Then Ryder contacts the subway center on the car's radio to announce that he's got the car and people, and if he doesn't get $10 million in small bills within an hour, he'll kill one passenger per minute until he gets the money. In the luck of the draw, he gets Walter Garber, Denzel Washington here, at subway headquarters, who is, quote, just an ordinary guy, unquote. We know this because he must say, I'm just a guy, or I'm just an ordinary guy, 8 or 10 times during the film. Garber takes the information and says he'll put Ryder in touch with someone who has authority. But Ryder doesn't want someone else. He wants Garber to be his contact. When the FBI negotiator arrives, Ryder tells him to get lost. Garber has to be his contact. Garber is every man. He has a wife, kids, mortgage, all that. But he has some legal issues that Ryder tunes into right away and tries to play mind games. So the bulk of the film is the interaction between these two very different but not totally different guys. Travolta plays a hyper-excited psychopath, but occasionally a human being peeps through. When he kills someone, he screams that the city of New York is guilty, showing a need to at least rationalize. Washington plays Garber as just a nice guy, caught up in something that he thought was way over his head. But as the film develops, he grows and becomes a better hostage negotiator than the FBI agent would have been. Actually, Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3 doesn't have a terribly complicated plot, despite a twist at the end. The relationship between these two seeming opposites, who turn out to be not quite as opposite as we at first thought, is the most interesting part of the film. Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3 offers a lesson in filmmaking, and as a former film study professor, how can I resist giving a short lecture from Film Study 101? There are three important elements in the success or failure of a movie: the performance of actors, the script, and the province of director and editor, and the latter two roles are usually about the same. In the best of all possible film worlds, the director guides it all. He or she directs the performances, changes the script if he has that much power, and guides the editing. It's this latter quality that makes Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3 interesting and engaging. At its most basic, editing is simply the mechanical joining of two shots, two pieces of film. But it's from the selection of the shots, their juxtaposition, and their duration that the audience gets much of its response. Tight close-ups are most important in making us like or sometimes hate a character. Close-ups create emotional involvement. So in the opening few minutes of Pelham, we repeatedly see Garber in tight close-ups as he eats his lunch and talks on his intercom, establishing him as, well, ordinary guy. We get some close-ups of Ryder in his Fu Manchu mustache snarling into his radio mic by way of contrast. Shots with long time spans slow the action. Shots with very slow time duration increase the pace. Juxtaposition of shots guides our response. We see Ryder screaming at Garber at the passengers, cut to a shot of the passengers looking appropriately terrified, then to Garber looking sweetly reasonable or troubled, all in shots of only a couple of seconds in duration. This kind of editing causes the unease that Scott wants us to feel. And the shot length has to vary from action sequences with very short shots, then to longer shots, and then back and forth. But it sure isn't as easy as I make it sound. Editing is an art. It's kind of visual symphony if done right. And Scott gets it right here. The storyline's pretty mundane, but Scott's excellent direction and editing turns it into a quite riveting thriller. Kudos to Tony Scott, and I'll give the film 4 stars out of 5 for his work.